know, this is, communion is one of those times. The communion cup should be on your table. And there's two parts to the communion cup. The very top part will peel back and there's a wafer right inside. And then after we take the wafer, you pull back the second part and it's actually juice, it's not wine, for those of you who may have a concern. This time is a time of reflection and remembrance because Jesus wanted us to remember what happened and why he died for us and why he went to the cross. And we celebrate the Lord's Supper as a weekly reminder of the gift God has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and to remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. The table's open to all of who have surrendered their life to Jesus, and everybody is willing. Yes, everybody can partake with us. And that night when Jesus was in the upper room, and as you go through the Bible, you see that the upper room was used more than once. And the upper room happened several times where that's where the disciples went to. But the upper room was originally brought around and found by Jesus. Jesus was the one that designated it. Pentecost happened in the upper room. Jesus came back to his disciples after the resurrection in the upper room. This must have been one of the most famous places in all of Jerusalem. So that night that he was betrayed, it was after dinner and they were all kind of sitting around and Jesus took the bread and he held it up to heaven and he blessed it and he broke it. And he offered it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And I'm going to talk about another story about the significance of the bread. Because we're going to talk about the road to Emmaus. Which kind of opens up some other questions in my mind. And then in the same manner, what he did was he took the cup. And when he had blessed it in the same manner as he blessed the bread, he said, "Take, drink. This is my blood shed for you for the new covenant, for the forgiveness of sins of many, for all of us, once and for all." Like to make an offering, there are offering envelopes on your table. Just feel free to slip your offering in there, and there is a box at the back of the room. Just put it in that box, and it helps us keep the lights on in here, keep the heat on. Now it's going to be the air conditioning here pretty soon. Hopefully we're done with the white stuff. I don't know. So, okay. Our reach out, May challenge, is National Day of Prayer, which is May 5th. We're going to be at Golden Spike Park. I already talked about that. So that is our reach out challenge. There are going to be, I don't know how many people are going to be there. We really don't. All we know is that we can touch the people that come there. And then we create an event where other people go, "Wow, I wish I would have been there. Wow, what was going on at Golden Spike Park?" Martin Wood is at it again. I love it. So that's our reach out challenge. The reason I showed you this is that the longer you look at this picture, there are things that happened in Jesus' life in this picture of Jesus. Down at the bottom, you have Jesus' birth. There's Joseph and Mary, and he had horns, so it's probably a bull. At the very top, he's praying all by himself. There's the angels. I just kind of wanted to show you that. Sometimes I think we don't see things that are right in front of us, maybe because we have a different perspective on things than we normally would. So anyway, I wanted to show you that. Today's sermon, the one thing that I want everybody to remember is that Jesus is always with us. And sometimes we don't see that. I hope all of y'all are having a great week. It's good to see everyone. It's such a great time of year, but I don't want us to forget not only what the Lord did for us, but what happened after that. Because it was one miracle after the other. And I kept thinking about the road to Emmaus. And that's what this is depicting. Jesus is walking with two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. During a recent Bible study, we came up on an interpretation of the road to Emmaus and the passages that I'm going to share with you. But before I tell you the interpretation, one of the things that I want to show you that kind of blows me away about the Bible, and that's why the Gospel of John was written. Because what John wanted to do was he wanted to let everybody know that they are witnesses to what happened. They are witnesses to what happened with Christ. This isn't a fairy tale. It wasn't something that somebody just wrote up. I mean, it actually happened, and it was written within 30 to 40 years of what happened with Christ. And the thing is that everything that is in the Bible that was written by in the Gospels was... there were other people that validated it, people that were either still alive and witnessed it, or people that knew people that were there. And this is what John says. As he says, there's many signs Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book. And the reason is John goes on and says that if I would have written, or if that every miracle that Jesus written, every miracle that Jesus did, if it was written down, the world couldn't hold it. Couldn't hold all that information. And one of the things that God tells us is, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not, my understanding is not your understanding. And that's what I see with something like this. I can't imagine there being so many miracles that the whole world couldn't even hold all the information if they were all written down. But these have been written down so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. And that believing, when you believe in this, and truly believe in this, you too may have life in His name, in the name of Jesus. And that's a very powerful name. It tells me, again, like I said, that not everything about Jesus was written down. But the things that were written have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is who He says He is. And they were written by people who were there. So now let's go back to the road to Emmaus and what Luke's trying to tell us with this scripture and kind of put this into perspective. What was happening was, this was on Resurrection Day, when these two disciples were going to Emmaus. I don't know why they were going. I searched and searched. It's like, why are these two guys going to Emmaus? I don't know why they're going. It's 7 miles from Jerusalem, which is further than Bethany and Bethpage, where a lot of stuff was done, which is about a half a mile or a mile from Jerusalem. So these guys are going to Emmaus, and they're walking along talking about all this stuff that happens, and the way the Bible portrays it is that they were downtrodden. They were like, wow, I can't believe this happened. I think what it was they were in shock. I think they were numb. This was supposed to be the Savior. This was supposed to be the King of Kings. This was supposed to be the person that took care of the entire world. What they didn't realize, well, I'll show you. Let's keep going. This is where Emmaus is in relationship to Jerusalem. And there is a mountain range there. You can kind of see the water just at the end of that pointy thing. There's water, and there's a mountain range there. I don't know how long it took to go 7 miles back in those days, but just think, they're all up there on foot. And they're walking along, and this was the day that Jesus was resurrected, but I don't think they totally understood what was going on. So they're leaving Jerusalem, and they're going along, and as they were talking about all these things, Jesus himself, according to the Bible, drew near to them. I always thought that he just appeared next to them, but it sounds like they were walking along and he just kind of popped up and he started walking with them and talking with them. The thing is that very last sentence, but their eyes were restrained and they did not know that that was who he was. But they did. They just didn't know that what they were feeling was because that they were walking with Jesus. There's three times I know of in the Bible that things happen where people were standing next to Jesus and Jesus, they didn't know who he was. Let me put it this way. When they looked like we do in the natural, they didn't know who he was. But I'm going to show you in just a minute that these guys felt it inside of them. They felt it in their heart. That was actually Jesus. You know, Jesus told them things. So their eyes were restrained. And Jesus was walking along. And what he said, but he said this very sternly. Is he said, "O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds like me. I'll be reading what the prophets wrote. I'll be reading the Old Testament and I go, that couldn't happen. Or even worse, that couldn't happen to me. The good as well as the bad. So he said to them, "Foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things to enter into his glory?" And that's what he was trying to tell them. This was all prophesied. But the thing is, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's like 600 years. That's a long time to kind of hang out thinking that, okay, this Christ guy is coming. We know the Messiah is coming. But the disciples knew when they saw him. So then what happened is Jesus started telling them, he started talking to them all the way from Moses. And he told them about all the prophets and the things that had happened. But one of the things he did as he was going through them and through the scriptures with him was telling them and explaining to them all the scriptures that had to do with him. And the reason he went through the things he did. Back to, he did that to show them that the scriptures had to be fulfilled. And that they were fulfilled. Even though he did that, they didn't realize who he was. And I sometimes know that happens with me. I sometimes sit here and I go, "Wow, where'd Jesus go?" Or the saying, "Where's Jesus in all this?" I don't think Jesus leaves. Jesus doesn't leave us. If you believe the Bible and what the Bible says in there, Jesus does not leave us. He's always with us. He's always there with us, no matter what. The good and the bad. I know I've had times in my life where I'm like, "Oh, Jesus, just turn your eyes. You don't need to see this." Or I hope that he hadn't seen what I had done. But the thing is he has. And the beauty of all of that is one of the things when we did communion, we're forgiven. He shed his blood for us to forgive us of everything that we do, because he knows that we're in peril. I believe that he also reveals himself to us. I believe that there's times when he says, here I am. But what happens is we have these filters, these natural filters that happen. And those filters keep us from seeing his glory. But the thing that I found is, even though I don't see him, even though he reveals himself to me and I don't see him, he's still there. And he doesn't go away. Not like a friend that if you ignore them or you say you don't exist, they eventually go away and say, well, that's fine if you're going to ignore me. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus stays with us no matter what. And the reason I know that, and I'll show you at the very end of the sermon, I'll show you where Jesus tells us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't go anywhere. Even if we wish he wasn't there. So what happened with these guys that are walking on the road to Emmaus is they get to Emmaus. And Jesus said, guys, I'll see you later. These two disciples decide that they're going to stop in Emmaus because it's getting late. That's all the Bible says. It was getting late. In my mind, I think it's getting dark. But some other things happened after that. Jesus said, I'm going to continue on. And the guys are like, no, why don't you come with us? It's been a long day. Hang out with us. Let's have dinner. Let's kind of chill. Jesus decided to. But the one thing, when they were walking on the road and Jesus first walked up, he was like, what's wrong with you guys? And they said, what? Are you a stranger to Jerusalem? Don't you know what's going on? And I don't mean this in a bad way, but Jesus kind of played dumb. And he goes, what things? What happened? And then that's when he went on and started talking about the scriptures with these guys. So anyway, Jesus decides that he's going to have a meal with them. And I sometimes think maybe in my stubbornness or in our stubbornness, we're not thinking that we can see or feel him, that he reveals us to himself like he did in this passage. Luke 24:30-32. When he had reclined at the table with them, kind of like in communion, right? After everybody had eaten, they were reclining at the table. He took the bread, he blessed it, breaking it. He began giving it to them. Doesn't that sound like communion? They were communing with Jesus Christ. The thing was, is they didn't know it. But I contend that they do. They just didn't see it. So what happened, and this is a really cool part of this, is when he broke bread with them and he started giving it to them, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. So it went from the supernatural to the natural, and he vanished from their sight. Jesus was right there with them the whole time, yet they didn't realize his presence. What a shame. Kind of sounds like Mary and Martha. Martha was so busy in the kitchen that she didn't spend time with Jesus. And he was right there in their house. But she said, I've got too many things going on. Look, I'm preparing dinner, I'm washing dishes, and all she's doing is wiping his feet. Whoa. Had they known it was Jesus, when we see that Jesus is with us, there's so much more we can learn about him. Just imagine if they would have known that was Jesus, the questions that they would have asked him, the things that they would have talked to about him, but I don't think they were ready. I'm not sure they could handle it because they were still in disbelief that Jesus was actually resurrected from the dead, because it's never happened before. Jesus resurrected people from the dead, but there was nobody there to resurrect Jesus from the dead. So they were in disbelief. Keep in mind, this is still Resurrection Day. This was the day the stone got rolled back, so they're all still kind of in shock. I'm not sure they really believed that he had risen from the dead. They were so stuck on what they saw rather than being stuck on their faith that they missed an opportunity with him. Don't do that. Realize he is omnipresent. He is always here with us. He's right here. Right now. In this room. He's knocking. And are you going to open the door for him? Because he wants to come in. He wants to be in your heart. Are you going to invite him into your life? Are you going to allow him to come in? Or are you kind of go, well, you know, I don't see you, Jesus. But what the Bible tells me is that we were all made in Jesus, in his likeness. So when I look down and see God everywhere, because you all are in his likeness. And the thing is that Jesus said that Jesus said that you can do what I've done even more. And I want to read you something that that I read the other day. It was some things that I had picked up. And this was some things that I had picked up out of my sister's things. She did an awful lot of writing. And I thought this was interesting, is that one of the things she wrote is, she said, the only difference between you and God is that you have forgotten that you are divine. I read that on the plane and I went, whoa. And that's what I see happening, and Jesus told us that. You can do what I've done even more. Well, if you can do what he's done, doesn't that make you divine also? He gave us that power. It's just that we haven't reached out and grabbed it. So they recognized him. They saw that he was there. He's always there with us. And the thing is that they didn't see him, but they felt it. Because what they said was, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? But yet they didn't want to believe it. While he was explaining the scriptures to them, their hearts were burning, so they knew. But they used their eyes and they didn't see. They were trying to see something supernatural with their eyes. And it just didn't happen. He's knocking. Are you going to open the door? Jesus is always there for us. And Matthew said that in Matthew 28:20. This is the last thing that Matthew wrote about Jesus. And this was after Jesus was resurrected. He said, I'm with you guys all the time. I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. And in the New King James Version, he said, amen. And that is it. That's like the last word. What I said is it. Don't forget he's there. No matter what happens to you, he doesn't leave us. Well, I'll tell you a story. There was a girl that she was on her deathbed. She was in hospice. And some people dispute this, but she looked over and she said someone was sitting there in the chair. And she said it looked like Jesus. And she said, I looked over. This girl was getting ready to die. She's alive now. And she's doing well. And she is doing a lot for the ministry. But she looks over at this man that's sitting there that looks like Jesus. And she said, Jesus, why did you leave me? And Jesus looked back and said, I didn't leave you. You left me. That's what I don't want to happen. I don't want us to leave him. And the biggest thing is because the blessings. Oh my gosh. There are so many blessings. If we just acknowledge that he's there for us. No matter what befalls us, remember our Lord and Savior is there for us. The guy didn't go to the cross and die this ugly, painful death to leave us. He's there to hold you up. He's there to see you through. He isn't going to abuse you. He isn't going to hurt you. He's not going to make you feel any less than you are. Sometimes those are those little voices in the head, and that is not God speaking to you. He wants you to go to new heights. He wants you to shine. He wants you to see glory in everything that you do every day. We just have to stop not letting him take us there. We need to let him take us there. We need to let go of the guilt that was taken away by his blood. We need to blow up roadblocks keeping us from his goodness and start accepting the goodness that he has to give us because he wants to share it with us. This week, make an effort to feel Christ, to feel him. Look around you and see his goodness. I didn't say look for his goodness. I said see it. It's right here in this room. It's right outside the door. His goodness is everywhere you go. Life, your life, it's what you make of. Don't stop the good from coming because of a filter that you may have or a belief that it could not happen to you. Because it can happen to each and every one of us. Good stuff. He owns it all. And the thing is, he wants to share it with you. Open that door. I'm not waiting until he knocks. I want my door wide open for when he does come. I don't want him to have to knock. I just want him to walk across the threshold and be in my life and be in my heart. And with my hearing, which is no good, and the filters that I you too. And with the filters that I have in my life, I don't want to miss 1 minute with him. And if he stands in my door and knocks for a minute, that's a minute that I've lost with my Savior. Feel Christ in your life. When you look for him, you will see him in everyone you meet. Doesn't matter who it is. When you look, you will see it. You'll see him in everything around you that's there. He is there. Don't travel another day thinking that you're alone because you're not. If you would please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we know that you're here with us. We see you in the flowers, in the trees, and birds, and all living creatures. We feel your presence in our lives. We thank you for hope, happiness, and a way of life where you are our guide and protector. Help us to see your will and your ways because we want to walk in your will and your ways. We ask that you watch over everybody in this congregation, especially Lucy and Connie, because Connie lost her brother last night, Lord, and they're getting ready to go on a trip to Michigan. We ask that you watch over them and guide them on their road. We also want to thank you for blessing your ministry on 8th Avenue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So many things happen from day to day, and we never know what may befall us. All we have is today. And if you haven't given your life to Christ yet, take a moment and decide whether today is the day or not. There's no time like the present. If now's the time, just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you've said that simple prayer, we believe that you've been born again. Read your Bible and be right back here.